Good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here at Sunday morning here in London on a rainy July morning, and we are here for this week's Turning Towards Life, which I say this all the time. I'm so pleased to be doing this. I'm so excited to be doing this. This is our nearly 200th week of this practice. And the numbers just serve, Lizzie, to remind me what it is to be diligently and lovingly and persistently and all of that in an ongoing practice that I know has been so powerful for both of us. And I just want to say welcome to everyone. Welcome to all of you who are with us in this practice. Lots of people who are with us live on Facebook. Everybody is welcome to do that. We have a Facebook group called Turning Towards Life that you can join. And there's a podcast. Maybe you're listening there later. And there's Instagram. And there's our lovely turningtowards.life website. And there's also wearethirdspace.org, where you can find out about Third Space, that all of this comes from. And I want to keep saying, Lizzie, because it's new, to remind everyone that you can email us also if you want to be in any kind of conversation with us. Hello at turningtowards.life. I have to say this properly. I've said it wrong twice now. Hello@turningtowards.life. Will reach us for any Turning Towards Life stuff. And also, hello@wearethirdspace.org will reach us if you're interested in any of the other stuff that we're up to. And I'm looking forward to getting emails.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. And as Justin was saying, it's lovely to be here. It's such an incredible rhythm that this is for me. So today we're bringing a poem that I wrote a couple of weeks ago in response to a person who has come through this year on the PCC. And in the culmination of the year, there's a kind of a development conversation, a conversation for possibility about deepening and wandering into new parts of ourselves that would serve us in a deeper way. And this was one of the things that came out of me in response to a conversation there. So, and maybe the person's listening. So if you're listening, Matt, this is a dedication to you. And we'll see where this goes. It's called I Am the Jelly Wrestler. And hopefully the thing about jelly wrestling will become clear as we go on. I can say a bit of background about it. But really, this is an ode to when we're growing, I think. So here we are. And again, this is dedicated to Matt. I am the jelly wrestler, peeking out from my everyday way of being, this part that I put away long ago for fear of it taking over. It did take over once, and I was too small to handle it. And now I'm stronger, more grounded, more me. It's asking to come back again. And here I am, present and ready. So tentative, the thought of it is embarrassing, frightening even, and somehow others can see this in me, are asking it forth. And I'm willing to let it have a voice, let it take action. I can feel it's gifted, gifts to be given, to me, to others, to life. And turning towards it might be shameful. I wonder if I can bear it. What help do I need? What would make it safe enough? Welcome, Jelly Wrestler. I'm here and I can handle you. Here's to wildness, freedom, and more of me.
Oh my goodness, it's so fabulous to hear you read that, Lizzie. I can feel all kinds of things happening in me already moving around because of your words. So I'm going to read this too, with gratitude to you, Lizzie, for writing it, with gratitude to Matt, to being the one who's the inspiration for this. And with, I'm feeling right now, just such deep appreciation for everyone, what it is to be a person. I am the jelly wrestler, picking out from my everyday way of being this part that I put away long ago for fear of it taking over. It did take over once, and I was too small to handle it. And now I'm stronger, more grounded, more me. It's asking to come back again. And here I am, present and ready. so tentative. The thought of it is embarrassing, frightening even. But somehow others can see this in me and are asking it forth. And I'm willing to let it have a voice, let it take action. I can feel it's gifted, gifts to be given to me, to others, to life, and turning towards it might be shameful. I wonder if I can bear it. What help do I need? What would make it safe enough? Welcome, Jelly Wrestler, I'm here and I can handle you. Here's to wildness, freedom, and more of me.
Thanks, Justin. Oh my gosh, as you read it, I can feel the tenderness of it. You know, of welcoming a piece of myself back that has been dormant or in the shadows, and how unfamiliar it feels, and how delicate that is, that it's something that I want, but something that I don't know how to be, something that's kind of calling, and something that I will really have to find a way of letting a different kind of energy be here, letting a different kind of body be here, letting a different kind of bit of language, even different actions be here, that feel lots of the time maybe quite kind of threatening as well. But there's something that in welcoming this part back, it feels like it could put everything into question. Like that's how powerful it feels. And so the point of this being the Jelly Wrestler is just that I wanted there to be, so I guess the intention of saying I am the Jelly Wrestler is that it's a part that it could be any part of us, but it's something kind of, well, what the hell is that? You know, nobody knows what a Jelly Wrestler is. And maybe there isn't such thing as a Jelly Wrestler, but I happen to know that some people do wrestle in jelly. And it just came to me as a kind of quite far out something in the conversation actually with Matt. And it feels like it does have that quality to it. Like it's quite opposite of just the way that I'm normally being. And so it feels important to talk about this and to have this be part of the way that we can relate to ourselves as human beings, because there are parts that we really, really need and that we've put somewhere for very good reason. And that when we grow, as we grow, we need to welcome them back in again for the sake of vitality or a deeper way of relating to the world, or some opening in our lives happens and we're called to something new. And if we don't respond to the call, maybe we wouldn't be able to follow what is ours to follow, because this feels too scary or too frightening. And as we know, when we put language to things, somehow permission gets created. So for me, this poem, when you read it to me, I thought, oh, that feeling of kind of peaking and tenderness is okay. Like when I receive the words, I can feel like it's not as frightening as I thought it was because someone else said it. It's not as frightening as I thought it was because someone else has been through it. You know, it's like an invitation and an articulation of a piece of life that if someone else didn't say it, I might not have the courage to go there, because I might have all kinds of things keeping me in the way that I am, all kinds of commitments to myself, to other people, that leave me unable to access or be open to this part that's calling forth. So it feels like a really crucial, beautiful, important conversation to be in about all of our parts that we've put away and are asking to come back again.
I'm so, it was so excellent reading this, you reading it to me and me reading it back to you. I could feel still can, such a surge of joyful aliveness coming in me. And I wouldn't always, that's not how I'll always receive a poem like this. Sometimes your words, these very same words, would be, they would evoke in me, Lizzie, the longing for the part of me that got pushed out of the way, but also the shame at its return and the fear about what that would mean and all of that. But today, I'm just feeling really joyful in the invitation. And I was so struck by something you just said. So I noticed in myself that there are, of course, I say of course as if it's obvious, it's maybe not, it's not that obvious. There are parts of me that I know about that are these parts. Like I've talked about my experience with dancing with you on this, in this conversation before. I'm thinking about the time I was about 7 and I went on to play the cello in front of the school assembly, and I'd knock the cello out of tune and wouldn't play, and I had to run off the stage, and all the parts that got pushed away then. And so there are parts of me that I'm aware of, and sometimes I feel like I can be the one. You've written these wonderful words in here, I'm here, and I'm stronger and I'm more grounded and I'm more me and I'm ready, I'm asking it to come back again. When we find ourselves that way, when we realize how much we've grown and that we've now got the capacity to welcome back, we really can welcome back parts of us that got shunted aside or that were too big for us at the time. It's a wonderful place to be. And I think I'm feeling a lot of that joyful energy this morning in talking to you. I'm also really touched and struck by something you just said, which is it really helps us if we can have people around us. And so then the consequence of this will be if we can be this way for other people who are sensitive enough to feel and see that there are parts of another person that are filled with life that are currently being held away and can name them and welcome them also. Mm-hmm. It's really a lot to ask us to do this on our own, to navigate through the world, trying to find, redeem and bring back from exile all of the parts of us on our own. And lots of us are surrounded, we're in settings and relationships where we've all got used to one another being a particular way. And when a really new part, like the jelly wrestler part of us, shows up, it may not be unwelcome exactly, but it may not be easy for it to show up in the midst of an existing relationship in just a straightforward way, because I start to say something or do something you've never experienced in me before. And of course, parts of you go, whoa, 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 whoa. So I'm just really appreciating right now the gift of being the one who will name and welcome on behalf of others. Say, I can see that part of you, and I love you and that part of you sufficiently that I'm willing to be right here as a welcome, not as a force and not as a push, but just simply as a welcome and being able to say it.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone has ever done that for me, and actually you have been someone who's done that for me many times over the time we've known one another, Lizzie, it's so healing. Not easy, but really healing to be seen that way by another person.
Mm-hmm. It's so sweet, Joss, and you're really reminding me. So I spoke about this poem with my sister recently. And as we were growing up, it's funny, in this moment, I can see that there's something coming, kind of coalescing for me. You know, when everyone talks about looking back into your life and looking at the ways you were when you were younger and seeing what kind of original gifts you were trying to bear, and they may and may not have been received, but we can have a view on our life and kind of review things to see what I was really trying to do and see whether that applies now and how we could carry that forward and what could be purposeful about that and whatever. And in this moment, I can feel myself doing that, because as you said, the piece about being a person who can see and welcome something that isn't observable yet by another person, and what it is to be that person. I remember the gift of being with my sister was that I was I was always the one seeing a part of her that was quite obscured. And over our life together, that piece has become less and less and less obscured, which is a kind of lightness and ridiculousness and fun, doing things for the sake of themselves kind of relationship. And it really wasn't easy. And so I would do things with her, like she'd be in such a bad mood and some kind of event would be happening and it would be really serious and everything. And I would do things like insist that I put a huge big one of our dining chairs in the bed with her underneath her duvet. Otherwise I wouldn't leave her alone. And it was just really stupid. But when we would both end up in the end, after like a huge argument about the chair not being a thing that should go in a bed and, you know, all of the things. And we had rooms that kind of across a corridor from each other. So there was a landing and then our little bedrooms were kind of near each other. So we used to shout from our beds across the landing to each other. We'd have this big argument and I'd say, keep that chair in your bed. You have to sleep with the chair in your bed. Anyway, things like this would happen all the time. And in the end, she would end up laughing. And it was like a piece of her that I just knew was there. That her difficulty and her pain wasn't all of her, which at the time she was thinking was. And I feel like somehow this poem and you saying what you just said is reminding me that all the way along, I think there was a part of me that really was dedicated to this, of really, really wondering who someone is. And really my sister was my teacher, because I did that with her all the time. Not as a kind of mission, but just because that's what got born out of the relationship. And so she taught me by being open, really open in the end, that my seeing of that part of her had value, and it still has value. And so I'm just realizing through this poem that, not that I was conscious of it at the time, but as I look back, I can see that this has always meant something to me, to be a person who looks and goes, I really wonder who you are beyond this kind of whatever drama is here, or whatever mask is here, or whatever way you're trying to push me away. Like, you're trying to do all of this stuff and I'm seeing something beyond the things that you're trying to have me see for your current way of being's purpose to stay intact. So I'm just really newly right now in receipt of that. I've never seen that before. And I feel really grateful to be able to see that. And like, I have to sit with that for a while and see what that really means. But I feel really, really amazed as well at the kind of connections of this. So this is a poem that I wrote because I was in a conversation with someone who was, this was happening for them. They were seeing something, we were seeing something that was obscured. And now this is coming back to me, is kind of showing me something about myself and what my life is really about, and what I've been all along. And yet that's not what I have been able to see until now. And then I start going, oh, and I think I did it there, and I think I did it there. So I'm just feeling moved by that at the moment. I'm really grateful to the poem and to the things that we do that have this part of me be honoured.
Yep. I'm really pleased you're seeing that, because I know that to be true of you. I think in one way or another, I've known that to be true of you since I first met you, Lizzie. And as somebody, see, I have more in me that this, the way when I was hearing you talking about the chairs and the beds and seeing, but also more, I sort of suppose more substantively what you said about seeing that there's something more than the pain and there's something more than the situation. And I think that what you're talking about is the capacity to be dedicated to wholeness. To see, it's so helpful to see that what comes forward so often, what presents itself in our lives, are parts of us that are up to something, like, will you love me, or will I belong, or you know, all of those parts of us that get going in us very early on that also push the jelly wrestler parts away if jelly wrestlers are not, you know, not okay in our family system or in our culture or whatever it is. There is such, it is so needed, maybe this is the best way to say it, it's so needed in the world to have people who see beyond the parts of us that we're presenting.
Yeah.
And who will also see the goodness in the parts that we are presenting. So to this sort of double move, to see that the parts of us that come forward very often have an incredibly good intention, even if they're, you know, really partial or they're trying desperately to keep something away. Mm. And there's goodness there, but there's a bigger goodness than we are and a bigger wholeness that we are.
Mm.
And I can say this about you because I, as someone who has to keep on learning this, I had such strong self-critical protector parts of me that served me really well in my childhood and into my early 20s, that propelled me to do really well academically and all these kind of things, because they would push certain parts forward and shame massive other parts of myself. That to meet anybody who would go, as you have done with me, I see you beyond all of that, is such a relief. And it's striking me, even in saying that, just like you're saying, you're discovering things by being in this with the poem and in this conversation. For me, having anybody who would see me, I got really good, really good at doing things, particularly brainy things, really well, and getting recognized for being really good at it. Got really good at that. And in some ways it was excellent and brought lots of possibilities, and but it left so much out of me. So to have anybody who was willing to see that there's much, much, much more to me than that, and to love me unconditionally for the parts that I don't normally bring forward, which are like the jelly wrestling parts in this poem, is at once extraordinarily healing, incredibly terrifying, unknowable and mysterious, deeply enticing, discombobulating in the biggest possible way. It's all of that together. It's like you're not seeing me for all the things I'm used to being seen for. You're not liking me for all the things you mean you see something else. But to see the something else, you see, for me, the thing that I was used to, I suppose, because I was doing it to myself all the time, was to imagine that what was really going on was that the something else that I was keeping out of view was awful and horrible and disgusting and ought to be kept away from the world. So here I am doing my best. Let me show you this part of me, because this is the part that I've concluded, maybe because of the way other people have been, is the part that you ought to see. And there's all of this that you really ought not to see, because if you saw it, my goodness, you'd run for the hills. And then someone like you comes along and goes, I see all of that and it's welcome and I love you for it and encourage you to bring it. And that is really upending and really, really healing. And I feel very, as you're saying this, I can see that the work, the coaching work that we do, Lizzie, and that we teach is this. This is an articulation of this, is to be able to see to the goodness and the wholeness that's beyond the way that each of us bring ourselves to the world. What important work that is. But it doesn't just have a place in this practice we call coaching. Of course, it has a place in our relationships with our loved ones and with our friends and with our colleagues, and also with people that we don't know and with people that we've concluded are not my kind of people and all of that. If we can bring this discipline of sensing into the wholeness, there's a lot of healing that can happen. And I don't know where I'm left in my own speaking at the moment, is thinking, oh, and it's hard to do unless it can be helpful to get other people, we can get kick-started by other people being this way with us. And it takes a lot of welcoming of our own parts. Welcoming of our own parts really helps, and our own wholeness really helps in this move of then welcoming the wholeness of other people. It's like a virtuous circle when we do that.
Oh my gosh. It's like 1,000,000,000 things happening as you're saying this. One thing that I'm kind of in awe of at the moment as well is that the nature of, you know, what I see in you is quite funny as well, because all of that super brainy stuff, I don't know what that is, if you know what I mean. I haven't been an academic kind of person. I mean, I kind of got through school and I went to university and everything, but I was there for something other than the academia, if you know what I mean. I was there for just the thing that it was, that was more about learning different things than just what was in the textbooks or whatever. And so it's a really interesting thing to me to be someone, well, given our culture as well, to be someone who's appreciated for seeing the not that, but something else, is also quite something for me, because I can experience, I have experienced, not really these days, but I know I have experienced the kind of shame that I wasn't, you know, I had a brother and sister who were like A grades, first at university, super academic. And it hasn't been the focus. I didn't have the discipline to kind of do any revision, for example. I mean, I literally don't think I've ever revised in my life because I just couldn't make myself do it. So, you know, there's all kinds of self-criticism that has come from that, of being a procrastinator and being someone who just can't read something from start to finish and do it properly, and, you know, all of that. And so then to be in a relationship with you, and you have all of the kind of academic brilliance that you have, which I deeply appreciate. I also, because I don't really know what it is, everything else to me about you is like completely visible. Like your deep kind of wholehearted capacity to relate to other human beings, and the kind of kindness that you are, and the kind of dedication to there being less suffering because of the actions that you take and the words that you use. Like all of that for me is like basically what I'm in receipt of all the time. And there's this background of like, I know you're really, really clever, and I know, you know, when things go wrong technically or something needs to be built, you are just like proper genius. And I deeply appreciate that part, but it just feels like an equal part to the other parts rather than the part that needs to be appreciated about you. And I loved the way that you said it, that when people don't buy into the parts that we have on our little stall, I think we were talking about that last time as well, like we've got a little display unit of who I want you to relate to me as based on my preferences of what I'm comfortable with and what I'm not comfortable with. When someone goes to the stall holder rather than the stall itself and looks there, they'll find something other than what's on display. So the way that I'm managing the image of me that you see by doing the things that I do and saying the things that I say, you have the capacity to see beyond that to a deeper, more kind of wide place that includes those things but is not limited to those things. That just feels like really, really important in this moment. I'm just seeing like, my gosh, you know, there's so much, what's the word? You know, like when something's going on and you don't want someone to look, so you say, oh, look, there's a plane. You know, it's like, and then the person kind of looks away. There's so much of that going on. And if we could be a person that goes, oh yeah, no, I can hear the plane, but I'm going to carry on looking to the person who's pointing at the plane and wondering what this one is, and feeling into that and seeing people. It's such a different way of being than just to be hooked around by someone's self-image management system, we just have this super sophisticatedly down in our lives, because we're managing what people see and what people don't see all the time. So I'm just in real appreciation of the way that you said that, and how, what if that's what we, and it feels true to say we are a dedication to that, to seeing beyond what you would have me see if you had things your way, from a kind of fearful, worried about your self-image kind of sense of yourself. And if we can be safe enough places for the things that aren't able to be brought forth, to be seen, to be welcomed, if we can be safe enough for that to happen. It's just a different game, it's a different world, it's a different interaction, it's a whole different set of possibilities arise.
Well, I'm sort of feeling mindful of where we are time-wise in our conversation, and just wanting to say mostly the biggest yes to everything that you just said. And I'm taken very much by the return that you just brought us, Lizzie, about the stall that we set out in front of ourselves. To keep on, where I'm leaving this conversation is in this wondering about what is it to honor the stall that we set out, you know, that other people set out, and to be the ones who turn towards everything that is beyond that in welcome. And I'm also, something that happened for me as you were talking was I got sort of called into bigger frames of this, like how much of the way that we run our family lives, but our institutions and our societies comes from, because we're hooked up, we're so hooked on only seeing the stall that people leave out. Like, what if the question of how young people are supported in school to participate in school in a way that takes care of one another, mm-hmm. doesn't come from trying to squish down the protector parts that has people behave in particular ways, but honor the bigness that there is behind. Or how about if we came at problems on the scale of society in that way? Mm-hmm. And how about if we approached injustice or climate change from the point of view of bringing forth one another's wholeness and encouraging forward what had not yet been had the space to be wrought that could bring the jelly wrestling creativity and kindness and possibility and imagination into the world, rather than being caught up in what's just sort of out in front of all of us. It's really, I feel like my horizons have just got blown open really wide by this conversation and that wondering.
Mm. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, thank you, Justin. This has been so lovely, and I feel like I need to listen back to this on a walk or something and hear us again what has emerged today. And thank you everyone for being here and your openness to the conversation and to the jelly wrestler parts of yourselves that we hope get welcomed here in some way as well. And we will be back next Sunday with another excellent source, no doubt. And just thank you for being with us, and thank you, Justin, for following the threads with me like this. It's beautiful.
So welcome. Thank you, everyone.